Good evening and welcome to The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I am the librarian host, Tabitha Pope. This is a copyright and trademark podcast owned solely by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC, on the web at authorsontheair.com. Tonight, to make up for last night's big debacle, I have Madhuri Pavamani, who is an author with St. Martin Press, romance. She is the author of a paranormal romance trilogy, The Sanctum. She's a Southern girl with Northern sensibilities, a slight twang who still uses the word y'all, but never fixin', because that's not really a word, and I understand that. She has an affinity for writing twisted love stories and dark poetry. A graduate of Barnard College and incapable of leaving the bright lights of New York City, Madhuri says it works in Manhattan, but rests her head in New Jersey. She loves whiskey, tattoos, Bukowski, and yoga. Her upcoming, and that's actually out, urban fantasy trilogy, The Keeper series, was just released, I believe, last week with the first book in the series from St. Martin's. And let me bring her live on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Tabitha. How are you?
Finally.
I know. It's been like a work in progress.
Yes, I know. Well, I think that's kind of the story of my life. I'm a constant work in progress. So I can't wait to see what happens in the end. It's going to be like some great reveal at my funeral. Like, look at this great life. Well, yeah, okay. Too bad she's not here to see it.
It keeps everything exciting. Keeps your imagination.
Yes, every day is an adventure in my household. So, so welcome to the show, finally. I'm glad we finally got you on. And I want to talk a little bit about where you got your love for the dark paranormal type things, and what brought you to writing the urban fantasy series that you're working on. But let's go back to your... Let's go back to your bio before we even do that.
Okay.
So you live in one side of the river, but you work in the city. So that's,
I do. Mm-hmm.
That's like the typical, not typical, but it's like the movie version of a lot of people. You know, they do that. They live in Jersey, drive and take the train across, or drive across.
It is total
the
hell. I would not recommend it to anyone. I freaking hate it. I should have never left the island of Manhattan.
You should have stayed there? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The biggest, my ex, it was his idea, too. I actually would have stayed in Brooklyn, but he wanted to move to the city, and then from the city we moved to Jersey. And for a long time we were in Jersey City, which is, you know, right across
the
water. Sometimes they call it like the sixth borough. Like, you really feel like you're still in the city. But now, then he wanted like the suburb dream.
Suburb, yes.
I'm out in the burbs, and I'm desperately clawing my way back to Jersey City. I no longer have him. I got to get rid of the house, and so hopefully this summer I will be back in Jersey City, and that much closer to Manhattan. I was trying to go back to Manhattan, and I have a 9-year-old, and he is totally not. He's not. He is more than willing to go back to Jersey City, but he's not willing to move to Manhattan. So
yeah.
I'll have to work on him a little while.
Yeah,
but we're good.
I have one of those too.
Yeah, you know.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to get my daughter to move away from here too, but she, you know, we only got to move an hour versus the, you know, like six that I wanted to move. So yeah, I understand.
Yeah, yeah. You know how it goes. I mean, but it will be. You know, I would not. It's a lot doing this commute. I would rather.
Yeah.
I work a lot, so I would rather not do it.
So are you a drive commuter, or do you
no.
take?
Oh God, no.
You take the train.
No. I take the train, which is even worse. I mean, New Jersey Transit is the worst. I'm saying it on your show right now. And I hope they hear it, because they make my life hell.
Well, do you find that you get a lot of, because writers, everything out there is fodder for stories. So do you find that you find interesting things to add to stories while writing on these trains, though?
Well, you know, honestly, I use my commute as I write on my commute.
Oh.
So I tend not to be paying that much attention to the people around me. But what I have noticed that is really interesting is, because I write real pretty dirty books. I mean, they're pretty raw. And it's always interesting to have somebody, you know, because people are nosy. And they'll read what I'm writing as I'm writing it. And I'm like, all right, this is really what you want to do in the morning at 8:30 is read. Okay, go for it. So,
can you stomach this with your coffee? Yeah.
It's always really interesting because then I feel like they're looking at me like, wow, she looks so corporate, and yet she's using all those really foul words in that page. Especially the men. The men are. So anyway, that is my morning commute. I use it mostly for writing.
Even when
I lived in Jersey City, I wrote a lot on my commute.
Well, that's cool though. At least you have, you know, when you're driving, you don't really have that ability. I mean, the most you can do is listen to an audiobook or something. So at least you have that kind of sit.
Oh God, and I could not drive to work. I would want. I mean, the traffic up here is hell. I would want to kill someone.
Yeah. Well, no, it's bad here too, so don't feel bad.
But
people sit in their cars,
it's awful. Traffic, so I would rather let somebody else do the driving. I'll just sit and bitch about it when they're doing it.
So there you are out in the burbs, and you've got this writing going now for you. Tell me about your writing journey. Were you always a reader, writer? How did you get to that point where you decided I'm going to write a book?
I have always written always. I mean, I remember, I think in sixth grade, I won like some creative writing contest. And then in high school, I used to keep a notebook. I can't believe I'm going to admit this. So it was a notebook amongst my girlfriends that I would write these stories of our lives in when we all lived in New York City in our big loft in Soho, and we're dating the guys from Duran Duran.
That's awesome.
It's like the first, like, what do they call that? Fan fiction? So I have like, And what's really funny is I was thinking about those notebooks the other day, not the other day, but like a couple of months ago, and one of my girlfriends from high school, she texted me, and she's like, oh, my God, I can't wait till you become famous because I have all those notebooks. And I was like, don't you dare give anyone those notebooks.
That would be awesomely fun,
though. Yes, because I was wondering where the notebooks went, and she's like, I have all of them. So I've always written. I don't know what my writing was like back then, but what's also funny is I've always written romance, some sort of romance. I mean, I think of myself mostly as a romance writer, even though like the romance I write is twisted and dark. But it all comes back to romance, and I think that's a part of it is reading. Like sneaking and reading. My mom growing up in the bathroom had a basket, this huge basket of Harlequin romance books. I mean, an endless supply. Like we would go and we would go once a week and she would trade them in at the store and get new ones. And I would go in her bathroom and sneak them from a very young age, like young, so young that I really didn't know what a lot of it was, but I was so intrigued by the romance. I always say it's all my mom because it started there. And then it just, you know, I just always wanted to write. I wanted to work in a magazine. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. And then finally one day I had been walking around and I'm really into, also I'm a fantasy geek. Like I love dragons. I love warriors. I love all that kind of stuff. So I had started like 10 years ago, I was reading all these kind of like paranormal and whatnot. And I kept thinking the women characters they're always really strong and these amazing, fierce warriors. But then I felt like quite often their male counterpart was the key to their true identity. Like he held all their secrets. And I just really felt like, why can't there be a woman who, she knows how powerful she is. Like, she starts out just, she knows herself. And so I started creating my own world. And I walked around, like, I had these notebooks filled of my characters and my world and my storyline and everything. And then finally one day, I mean, I have, like, probably, like, 5 notebooks of research. And I just thought to myself, I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to die as the girl with all the notebooks. Like,
yeah.
I would have never
done
anything. So I just said, I was like, and I was suffering about of insomnia. And I thought, wow, I have to write. Like, I can't die without doing this. Like, I have to.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I started, it just came. I mean, it's flowed, you know, it's just pretty much flowed ever since. And so that I did, that was the Sanctum trilogy. And then from the Sanctum, while I was finishing at the Sanctum, I started thinking about the Keeper series, which is the series that is in the coming out, just came out from St.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay.
And so that kind of, I started building, because I was like, what am I going to do when the Sanctum's over? I've been in this world for years. And so then I started building a new, and I needed to build a world that was completely different. I needed to get out of that one and into, which I think must be interesting. I guess fantasy writers, I mean, maybe any writer is like that. Like, you're so into your characters, and it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to get away from them. So I wanted Dutch and Juma are my main characters in the Keeper series, and I needed them to be very different from my main characters in the other. So, that's how I did it.
So you have this, it's hard to explain, but because it's so, you have to get it out. You know, it's like cleansing. You've got to get it out. You've got to let them talk.
Yeah.
Is that what you're, I mean, you're talking.
That's how I feel. I mean,
yeah.
there's a Charles Bukowski poem, So You Want to Be a Writer, and he, in the poem, he talks about like it's bursting out, like don't do it unless it's bursting out of you and you just, you know, you have to. And that's kind of how, you know, of course every writer has moments where your story won't come to you or the right words, and especially when I have moments like that with my books, the novels, I write poetry. So I feel like I always have words. I'm playing with words. I'm always doing something with words. So I think it's a good way to psych myself out of not falling victim to writer's block, because when I am having problems with my book, like book 2 in the Keeper series was very difficult to write. And I wrote a lot of poetry during that time because I just, you know, I was like, I don't want to not write. And I have all these words in my head and they're all bouncing around and I have this rhythm and I know what I want to say. And so I would just write poetry, and then it keeps that muscle like working, just
yeah.
maybe in a different
yeah.
way, and until I'm ready to get back to my book. But yeah, I do feel like, and I, especially right now, I just finished writing the Keeper series. I'm still like I'm in the editing. I'm waiting for the edits on book three, but books one and two are done, and I'm kind of like. My agent, Kimberly Brower, she told me, she said, you need to take a break. But I don't function that way.
You can't.
Yeah, I don't really know, you know, so I said, no, I think, so I'm working on all these other projects. I mean, I haven't, but I am, like, it feels like I am taking a break because I have not, I do have another series I'm getting ready to write, and I haven't, like, sunk myself into it yet, because I know if I do that, then you know
you're lost.
To, like I'll be in that world for a couple of years. So,
do you plan your series out, like the whole series, all three books out in advance, or do you just kind of go with it when you start writing?
Well. My thing is, I have a thing about trilogies, and I don't know, it's not that I'm in love with the number three or anything, but I do feel like a trilogy, I think people love to read, they love to read like a series, but I feel like you can go too long with your series.
Oh, yeah.
Like this, you know,
for sure.
Like. And then your readers start feeling like, wow, she should have just stopped at book four. and so I feel like a trilogy is the perfect, I get to tell my story and the readers stay engaged. And when they leave, I might even have some of them feeling like, wow, I would love her to, you know, come back and do maybe a little more, especially because I hate writing an epilogue. I just had this argument with my agent. I hate epilogues, like at the end.
Yeah.
When I ended the Keeper series, she wanted like a few more details, and I was like, no, I'm not. I can't do that. No. And it makes it like so neat and tidy, and I don't like ending my books with such a pretty, you know, polka dot bow on them. I just don't, you know, I like it to be, you know, a little like there's, you know, not everything was perfect. So, and then I feel like there's the potential to, you know, write some more if you want, if you feel like ever coming back. I feel like the trilogy is the perfect, like the little world. So what I do, how I tend to write, I don't outline. I tried that once, and I felt a slave to my outline, and I was not enjoying writing. And I just tossed it. I was like, I'm not even going to. I did. It was book one of The Sanctum, and I said, I'm not doing this. And as soon as I got rid of it, it was great. So basically, what I do is I have my trilogy. I know the opening scene, and I know the ending, how it's going to end. So I know how mm-hmm. the trilogy will end. And a lot of times I know the three books. Dutch, I knew the opening scene and the closing scene. So, and then the rest just kind of, I have ideas, but I don't, like I said, I don't outline them. I did do more note-taking in book two because, like I mentioned to you, I was having issues writing.
Right, yeah.
And so I thought, well, let me step outside of my usual and do something different. And so it wasn't necessarily an outline, but it was a very, like, putting all of my ideas and, like, sorting them out and being much more structured about things. And then book three was fine. I didn't do any of that. I knew. I feel like book three has kind of been sitting in my bones for a while. I knew that book. So that one was really, and I wrote that book in 2 months. I mean, that was
brutal.
I told Kimberly, I was like, I can never do that again. It was just kind of messed up. It was because my, you know, I'm a lawyer during my day job. I'm a lawyer, and my day job does not stop. And while I was under deadline for book three, my day job decided to be a total nightmare. And it was really, it was a lot of my work was, you know, and I have to do my work. So,
right.
That
day
was
job.
What.
Day job is your money.
Day job pays my bills, gives me health insurance, lets me go to the gym. Let my kids go to the dentist. They just told us today at the dentist he needs braces. I was like, he's not. How could he need braces?
They don't usually do that until they're like, They don't usually do that early.
I've been hearing now they do it really young. No, Tabitha, the last time I was at the dentist with him, she told me with a straight face I needed to start saving my money now. And I was like, you're kidding, right? And she was like, no, I'm actually very serious. You need to start saving your money for braces right now. And I was like, oh,
jeez.
I got to get out of here.
Yeah, no kidding.
So the day job matters.
Right.
And it kind of infringed on my writing schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point you have to sleep. You do have to sleep. So,
Yeah.
So I'm not the most organized writer, but I do, you know, I have ideas. I have them in notebooks. I have ideas everywhere. So, I'm trying to be a little organized in my own way. Like, I see writers who have storyboards, and I'm so impressed. And I try to be like that. I have a cork board in my office. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm just like, I can't do it. It's up there. It's got, like, all kinds of other stuff on it. It does not have my book out yet.
It's funny, though, because a lot of writers, you know, they see these things and they think, oh, yeah, I should totally do that. And that would help me. But, you know, we compare ourselves to – when we start comparing our way to other people, it's just each way is individual. Like I was saying before the show, you know, everybody's journey is different because, you know, your day job is different than other people's day job. And some of them don't have a day job. That is their day job. And, you know – my kid's crazier than your kid, and kid needs braces, and my kid needs a psychiatrist. So, you know, it's just everybody's got their own. Yeah. So, I don't know. I love to get writers' ideas. You know, like and then it's almost like cafeteria, like going through and going, I think I might try a little bit of that and a pinch of that, and you know, and then. You develop your own way, and you know, I think that if you're riding on the train, man, you're using your time very effectively. I think that's awesome. I wish I had I hate to say this. I wish I had a commute somewhere where I could sit and write or read, because
I have to say it's nice. It's like your own. It's like your own time to yourself. So.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining about. I do like that. It gives me time. I do edits. I do a lot of editing on the train. So
that makes it.
It's good.
Yeah, you don't have to concentrate so much on editing as coming up with the original idea to start with. But yeah, I can see where that would be kind of a pain. But anyway, so you blame it on the Harlequins.
And blame it on the Harlequins.
And,
all those damn Harlequins.
I know. Yeah. You know how many authors have told me that, though, and they always said that they were, I was way too young to probably be reading them. And I'm
always
like, that's just awesome.
It is. I mean, it really, it's like the story of the 70s child, especially kids from the 70s. I mean, I was just talking to, I wonder if it was another writer. Like, we were talking about Tootie Blooms Forever, and that was so scandalous. You know, and I just think, like, yeah, I mean, there's so many. And then V.C. Andrews. Woo! Oh, me and my girlfriend loved those V.C. Andrews books. And what's funny is my mom had no idea what we were reading. Like, no idea.
Yeah, no. Nothing. No clue.
They had those kids up in that attic. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Fires in the attic. Some twisted twisted.
Very
stuff.
Twisted, yes. Mm-hmm. Very twisted. And,
oh, maybe
and then,
that's where
know.
I got like my, all my twisted like, my love. Just kind of not normal stuff. No, I'm not doing
maybe.
Anything like what they were. I'm not doing any of that flowers and stuff.
Yeah, that was
I'm much
a little
more
incestuous
into, like,
weirdness,
making,
but yeah.
Yeah. No, I think when I say twisted, it's more like, because especially because I write in the romance genre, but I'm not a fan of, and I know this is like a sin to say, I'm not a fan of Happily Ever After, right? HEA or whatever
right.
they call it. I'm not. I mean, I write it because I can't.
You have to.
A girlfriend of mine, she knows at the end of my book, like, she has to talk to me because I love killing my characters. And she's like, you know, you can't do that. You know you cannot kill the main characters. So,
yeah.
There's, like, a lot of, especially because, you know, I'm already writing, like, urban fantasy. So I can get away with a lot of things that you can't, you know, you can't do in
yeah.
contemporary romance.
That's true.
So I always, you know, I'll tell her, I was like, well, I can kill her and then bring her back later. And she's like, no, no. She's the heroine. She's the main girl you've made everybody fall in love with. You cannot kill her. So these are arguments she like brings me back from the edge every time. But I mean, I think I'm much more, my twisted is much more along the lines of, I really like to just kind of, break people's
yeah.
hearts, like really kind of, I don't know, just like make them cry. And a lot
yeah.
of people are like, you know, they're like, you do a really good job. I was a wretched mess reading like the last couple of chapters of your book. So. But it's
you're
interesting
like, yes.
because, well, after, and then what's interesting is this go round with the Keeper series, it got twisted back on me because it must be like my karma as a writer, writing the last two chapters of the Keeper series, it was the most bizarre experience. I sobbed as I was typing the two chapters. I've never cried like that while I'm writing, but I was
aww.
Totally a mess. And I was like, oh, this must be how my readers feel.
Exactly.
Completely devastated. And
but
even
you know,
now when I read it, it makes me upset.
Yeah.
Which is so weird.
I mean, I think that's awesome because that's, you know, it's coming from a very authentic place. If it's making you emotional, it's going to make your reader emotional. So,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Which is true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
And if it doesn't, then, yeah, that's when you probably have to worry about yourself. But
well, yeah, then you're not. Yeah,
I think for sure not. It probably makes sure, you know, makes it come across a little more authentic than, you know, somebody who's writing about
yeah.
something that they're like, whatever. You know, I get a feel for those with a lot of this, what do they call it? They have a new word for the fiction that's on the market, you know, the market fiction or whatever you call it, but the stuff that James Patterson with another author, you know, things that are going on in the world that are, you know, that other author probably is just like every other author out here. They're writing their heart out. And, you know, it's not really being written by James Patterson. He and his team are editing it for them, and he puts his name on it. But then it doesn't have – they've taken out all the feeling that goes in the story, you know, because you're taking –
Is that how they come across? I've never
yeah.
– somebody – my friend was just talking about those books.
Some of them do, yeah. And some of them, I guess – I think it just depends on the genre that it's – that mm-hmm. is thin, but some of them come across just kind of like they're cookie cutters, like change the names, change the location of the story, instead of having, you know, being divorced, make them a widower, you know, blah, 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 and put it out. I'm like, really? I think I read this story like 15 times as other things.
Mm-hmm.
Why? So, yeah, I mean, you want, you know, it's a good thing for it to come from an authentic place of, even if you're making it up in your head, it's a very emotional thing for you.
Yeah.
So that comes across on the page. And, you know, I mean, we don't need cookie cutter fiction out there. So it's good.
No, actually, that's what, because people will ask me, oh, do you read your genre? And I don't, because I don't know if this is like a bad thing, but I don't want other people's writing to other people's stories, you know, because I mean, everything
to translate, yeah,
into your psyche somehow. You might not purposely mean for it to, but I feel like if I stay away from, now this doesn't mean I don't read. I read all the time. I just tend not to read urban fantasy. Although I do read, I mean, there is one writer I read, but yeah, like a lot of the writers that, like my editor mentioned to me, or Kimberly, my agent, I don't read them because I mean, I'm more than happy to support people. It's more so like, I don't want someone to be like, oh, wow, she wrote that book, but that sounds so like such and such book. And, you know, why'd she do that?
Right.
Because I remember somebody who read The Sanctum said, when they read the first book, they said, oh, this makes me think of, what is that series by Cassandra Clare?
Oh, the...
The Mortal Instruments.
Mortal Instruments, yeah.
And I said, no, this is so, you know, because I already had books 2 and 3. I mean, they were in my head. I knew. And I said, oh, good God, this is so not the Mortal.
And
I was mortified.
Yeah.
I was so, and because also, not that, I mean, I like the way, but I didn't want anyone being like, oh, why'd she like go and copy Cassandra Clare? That's so
right.
Weird.
Well, and you hear about that with, you know, you heard that, you know, E.L. James and being the whole, oh, well, that's just a Twilight reboot, not in minus the paranormal, blah, 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 blah. You know, who cares? I mean, she wrote her thing. She wrote it her way. Let her write it her way.
Oh, wait, is
everybody
that what they say? 50 Shades
yes.
of, wait, 50
well,
Shades of Grey is supposed to be Twilight?
It was started out as fan fiction, and then she changed it, and that's what they said. That's what they say. Whatever.
Oh.
There's not a third guy, you know, that's like hugely part of it as much as.
I forgot about the sister. The wolf.
The wolf, yeah. So, yeah, people say that, and, you know, there's also a few other books, but still, I was like, I think she's made money in her own right, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yes, she made a lot of money, too.
Yeah, she's still making money.
I know, right? She's getting all those movies.
Yeah.
I want some of the money.
I do, too. And I want to meet Jeremy Dornan, so there you go. That would be nice. Yeah. He could do the GPS thing in my car, too. He has a nice voice. Smooth.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to our GPS talk. So tell me a little bit, going back to your writing, and tell me a little bit about your first series, the Sanctum Trilogy.
Uh-huh.
And it just gives kind of like the overarching story about those. And then let's talk about the Keepers.
Okay. So the Sanctum is about, I mean, in a nutshell, it comes down to like a romance, but it's also overarching. The overarching story is you have this organization, the Sanctum, it's corrupt. They send their warriors out to hunt this hybrid demon who winds up being this girl named Dev, and the warrior that's supposed to kill her does not kill her, and then that unleashes all kinds of other prophecies and a war, and there's lots of love and sex and death, and I think the Sanctum, especially book two, is where I hit my stride as a writer with because I write with there's a lot of poetry in my prose. So within my novels, I will randomly intersperse my poetry.
Yeah, I love poetry.
And with, with the boy, I didn't even realize, that was book two in the Sanctum trilogy, I did not even realize I was doing it. And my mom was reading it, and she emailed me. It was the funniest email. She was like, it was so cute. She was like, I'm really enjoying the book. Who wrote the poetry in the beginning of it? And I was like, what the hell is she talking about? And I was like, Mom, what are you talking about? And she's like, that beautiful poem in the, one of, like, the first chapters. I love that poem. And so I'm flipping through the book. I was like, Mom, that's not a poem. She's like, that is absolutely a poem. And then I realized, you know, and it's, and other people had said, in the girl, like, when they read my writing, they say there's, you know, there's a definite rhythm to the words. And mm-hmm. And it's interesting that people would say that, because I write when, it's hard to explain because it's all in my head, but each of my characters have their own, like, I can easily slip into my character Dev from the Sanctum because I know the beat. So I know exactly how it's, I don't know. So much of the way I write is rhythmic. And so, which is funny because I'm not musically inclined at all, but words for me, they have to fit perfectly, which is actually why sometimes it can take me a long time to write, because I'm so focused on, it's not just putting the story down, but it's putting the story down with the right rhythm. And if it's not the right rhythm, I just will not, I will keep working on it until it in my head, like, weaves with the proper beat. So that, so yeah, I mean, that's the, that is the Sanctum. I feel like a, especially for book two, I feel like a certain affection for it, because I think that's where I started becoming very comfortable with poetry and prose mm-hmm. and interspersing it in my prose.
I always love it. It just, to me, because I love poetry, it adds a lot to a story. It just,
it does.
You know, I mean, I think every time I say that, I go back to The Outsiders. You know, and mm-hmm, it just, mm-hmm. I remember, that's the only poem that I remembered word for word until even now. I mean,
yeah.
I think of a few, like, lines, but I can remember every bit of that Robert Frost poem
because
they read it, said it so many times in that movie. And I was like, yeah, or in the book and in the movie. And, you know, it just, it makes a difference. I don't know why, but for people who key in on poetry, it's a huge thing. And then rhythm is a huge thing too. There's, have you ever read, Daughter in Spoken Bone by,
Oh my God.
She is my
inspiration for so much. Lainey Taylor is everything.
Yeah. Her writing reads with a rhythm and it's beautiful. It's lyrical.
Writing.
I love it. Yes.
And you know what I love? So this is why I fell in love with her, because she does what this is what I try to do. I try to emulate her. She's, God, I'm so glad you brought her up. You have no idea. I'm so happy right now. I'm in love
with
you.
That's one of my favorite series.
No,
but I don't read very much fantasy, so that was like a really good series to me.
And you know what was really amazing? What's amazing about her is she will write the most brutal scene that rips your heart out, and you're lying in a floor, in a puddle of your own tears, but the words are so beautiful that you're also just like, wow, I just read the most painful but also beautiful paragraph I've ever read. I love that. She is so amazing. She's so amazing. I love her. I love her.
Well, I'm glad somebody else does, because I think I wrote somewhere I wrote, I think when I read the last one, I wrote, gosh, just, you know, her words just, they flow like a song when you're reading them, and when you finish it, you're just like, there's this weird glow you feel like you have, because words and music came together, you know?
God, He's,
I don't
yeah.
know.
It's
people look at me like I was crazy.
It's so beautiful. No, not
yeah.
at all. You're not crazy. She really is. After when I read her, I realized that all the ugly story, like all the ugly parts of my stories, I can write them because you can, like I said, the most brutal, you know, war and death and everything can really be also beautiful using the right words and rhythm. And she's a gift. And she and Gabrielle
yeah.
Garcia Marquez, Thornhill Hurston. I mean, I could start listing all these. But yeah, no, she's so, I love her. I'm glad you mentioned her. That makes me very happy.
Oh, good. So tell me, let's go on to the keepers. And let's tell
okay.
me just a little bit about where you started with Dutch and, you know, kind of what the whole thing's about, the whole trilogy.
So in a nutshell, the Keeper series is about Dutch Matthew and Juma Landry. And he is an assassin. He works for an organization called The Gate. And she works for Death. In my series, Death is personified. She works
mm-hmm.
for Death. She's called a Pucha, and she has 9 lives. And Dutch is tasked. His task is to end each of her 9 lives. And, of course, then they fall in love and unleash all kinds of drama. And so that's that's the trilogy. And then so Dutch is the introduction. It introduces you to his world of the gate. His family runs the gate. His family gives new meaning to the word twisted, messed up family. And then there's Juma, and she works for Death. So then you meet Death, and Juma has her whole realm, and you see like what her job for Death is to. So basically, in my series, you know, she crosses the dead back to the living, and the gate.
Mm-hmm.
Their job is to kind of keep Death in check, and not have all these dead people coming back to life. So it's like everything is interwoven, and Juma is one of the best at what she does. And when we meet Dutch, her name has come up, and it's time, you know, they're going to start hunting her. And that's where the series, that's book one.
Okay.
And then there's, you know, there's sex. It's pretty raw. It's pretty, yeah.
Adult.
Adult, yeah. It is very adult. And it's also, like I said, it's not for my family. I have told my family, do not read my book. I love you. My mom and dad. My mom is really cute. She knows. She's like, oh, yeah. I stopped reading your books with the same. She read book one in the Sanctum trilogy. And then when she was reading book two, she liked the poetry. And then after the poetry, I think it got, like, way too sexy for her. And she was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not going to read this either.
Yeah.
So, but
if it
my
makes you blush, you might not want to read it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then my dad will be, you know, and I just told my dad, I was like, don't. Let's
yeah.
not. So family, mom and dad, the aunties, all of that, that's not happening. Like, no one should. And now I keep
yeah.
thinking, like, I'll see my cousins, and I'm like, oh, God, do I even want my cousins? But I don't even care. They're, like, my age. They can handle it. But, yeah. The mom,
well,
dad,
you know, and it's
auntie.
One of those things that you're giving the disclaimer. You know, if they don't like
yeah.
it after that, that's their ditch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
they, yeah, yeah. But my mom and dad, definitely, I don't
yeah,
want no. them to. I don't want to have to see them after they read that book.
Yeah, that would be, yeah, I understand.
It would be, yeah, it's a little much. You know, because you know what happens is, when you're a romance writer, it's really, I just read an article about this. Like, people will be like, so how much of that is your, like,
of course.
How much is, yeah, and,
yeah.
you know, so I just kind of feel like, I don't want my mom and dad to be like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Believe me, I understand. As a librarian, you get kind of this, you're like, oh, you're a librarian. I'm like, but you don't know what kind of librarian I am. Am I the old stodger kind that's shushes everybody and takes your library card and cuts it up? Or am I the librarian? You know, I mean, I always got that stigma. And they're like, room is like,
you could be like a sexy librarian who, like, takes off her glasses and undoes her ponytail.
If I had to choose, I'm leaning a little more that way. But still, they automatically assumed I was, during my single days, you know, when people would be like, so what do you do? I'm a librarian. Oh, I'm like, oh, good God.
I feel like that happens all the time, so it's better that they don't. But back to the Keeper series, that is it and without giving away too much of the story, that's it in a nutshell. And and so book one came out last week, and then book two will be out in June 6th.
Okay.
I'm like, I can't speak English. And then book three will be out in August. I'm assuming it'll be August 8th because it was April 4th, June 6th. So I'm guessing it's August 8th, but I don't know the exact date. But so people who read Dutch, because I was told not to read the reviews because I will admit to you, I have gotten some really bad reviews of Dutch because maybe people they don't understand the world or I don't know, they didn't like the sex. There was one woman who read it and was like, I did not realize it was going to have all this sex. So there's like things that, you know, people get mad. And so they write these like one star reviews. And, so some of the people have warned that there's a cliffhanger, which in my mind, I didn't feel like I was ending book one with a cliffhanger, but I guess maybe it is. In my writer brain, it feels very like clean and, you know, but I can see how it could definitely, but so anyone who hates the cliffhanger should know
that it's a trilogy.
Book two is right around the corner. You will not have to wait, if you are one of the poor people who read the Game of Thrones books. I feel like now I've been waiting years for this man to write the book. I could write the book myself for him now at the rate he's going. So that will not happen. My book, book two will be out shortly, and then book three will be out soon after that. So I think it's a good schedule. By the end of the summer, everything will be out there and,
good.
You know, everybody will know what's going on with the Keeper series.
And so what do you have planned beyond that?
I have quite a few projects. I'm organizing a lot of my poetry to hopefully publish a book of poetry. And I'm also, so then with the Sanctum, the Sanctum Trilogy left, there were so many characters because in that book I have vampires, I have shifters, I have trolls, I have really so much. There's dragons, I mean, there's everything. And so I have already set up stories, and I have a project called the Sanctum series, which will be one-off books, so not trilogies, just one book. So like right now the Sanctum trilogy ended with the bad guy did not get killed, which I got so much email about that. Like, people get mad. I did not realize. Yeah, like mad. Like, how could you not kill him? And because his wife is also really bad, and she got killed. And I felt like real life, that's kind of what happens. But then I realized, like, people read books to escape real life.
Right, yeah.
So So, but also I knew, like, his story will be one of these one-offs. So I'm working on that. So I've got that, and then I have the books of poetry, and then I have a one-off of the Keeper series, which the Keeper series has a character, Dutch's best friend, that a lot of people who've read it, they're like, oh my God, I love Avery. So I'm going to write probably, Avery has a lover, his lover Cash, and I'm probably going to write their story. So I have a project, I have a character I'm developing that needs to be fleshed out a lot more, because my whole thing with writing, my writer's quirk is I need to know my character's names before I can start writing.
Oh.
And I don't have, I've got a lot of the world set up. I've got her, my girlfriend was over last night and I learned about, there's this Indian queen, Queen Lakshmi, and she fought the British Empire. Like, she has this amazing story that my parents are from India. I have to talk to my mom and dad about this, because what I gathered from the internet was that every kid that grows up in India knows about her. But my mom and dad never mentioned her to us.
Huh.
And I was reading her story last night. It's crazy. And then my girlfriend said the same thing. She's also Indian. And she was like, oh, yeah, I had no idea about her. But my mom and dad, they were like, oh, yeah. She's like, my mom and dad mentioned her as if she's like a family member. Like, everyone knows her. So, and then I was researching her, and she's got this amazing story. And I was like, oh, God, I need to add elements of her into my character. So I'm working
that
on that.
Awesome.
But she needs a name. It's really her counterpart has my son named her. And actually, my son helped me. The first sentence of the book is written. Like, we have the first sentence. Because I'm a big believer in the importance of that first sentence.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Agreed.
I believe one of the best first sentences is out of 100 Years of Solitude. I'm just like a firm. Gabriel Garcia Marquez just like nailed it. So I'm always like, if I can write a first sentence like that. So my son, actually, we were walking to school one day, and he helped me write the first sentence of the book. And he is named, the male character, my son has named him. So we've got, and we've been doing research on him. He's from New Orleans. So we've got like some working on it. It's just, you know, I'm not ready to, like I said in the beginning of this interview, I'm not ready to dive into that world just yet. So, that's it. I mean, I think I'll be busy for a little while, I hope. We'll see.
Yeah.
And I'm also I'm editing book one of The Sanctum. And then I'll reprint that. So I've pulled The Sanctum trilogy out of circulation right now. And so I'm working on that. So that's it.
Reworking that.
Me in a nutshell.
That was your day job. I think you're pretty busy.
I know, right? I need to make money off of writing so I can just make this my day job. But then I'm like, wow, could writing also pay for my gym membership and all those yoga classes?
And
I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe someday. You never know.
Maybe one day. Who knows?
Well,
I will keep lawyering.
You better keep that for now. It's just one of those keep your day job, but maybe not always things.
Exactly.
But, you know, you got to have a start, and here is, you know, these things take off, and sometimes they take off big time. So, and keep doing what you love anyway, right?
Yeah, it's not like I'm going to stop, so.
Yeah.
It happens. So, we'll see.
On your website, and I'm going to update this link so that it'll be all there. On your website, they can get to all your social media links, because I just checked. Because you're on Instagram, Pinterest, you have a Facebook author page.
I do, and Twitter.
Yeah,
mostly you'll find me on Twitter and Instagram. I mean, I'm on Facebook. I'm not a fan of Facebook, but I am on Facebook. I have been told to do a better job of maintaining my Facebook presence. But I love Twitter. Really, you can find me easily on Twitter and definitely Instagram. I'm always on there.
Okay.
But Instagram, I use a lot of my poetry is on there.
And do you have a newsletter on your website too?
Do I have a what?
Do you have a newsletter set up yet?
I don't, not yet. I'm in the process
of
doing that. I need to do that.
Okay.
That's like a big, I just haven't done it.
I know.
I need to
it
do
is.
That.
It is a huge
It is
thing,
a major
just,
thing.
I just did it for our network, so yeah, it's a big thing.
Does it help?
We just started, so we just
yeah.
put our first one out. So
okay.
I can't say, I don't know,
yeah.
but it's a fun way.
I
we've decided it's a fun way to get out the information about our shows and
uh-huh.
you know people who are
yeah.
loyal listeners and things. So
yeah,
so they can just follow you on either one of those and get your latest pretty much. What's going on when your releases
yes,
are
yeah,
coming out?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
awesome.
And definitely on my Facebook page.
Yeah,
you know all the release dates and everything. That's always
okay.
there.
Okay.
Yeah. Definitely.
Well, great. Well, I'm so
Thank
glad
you.
That we finally were able to get my stuff together to get you on the show, and I appreciate you taking the time out on a Friday night to hang with me and chat about the Daughter of Smoke and Bones because that's. Like,
oh,
seriously, one of my
yeah.
most favorites. Yeah.
That was, that was like a great moment in this interview. I remember that.
Well, thanks so much, and much success with the new series. And I look forward to getting time myself to read it since I got a copy. So,
cool. Yeah.
Hopefully, I'll get 5 minutes away from.
Good
job.
Luck. Yeah. Good luck with that. I've got my fingers crossed for you, sweetheart.
Thank you. And anyway, you have a great evening, great weekend. And
yeah, you too. Thank
yeah,
you so
keep in
much.
Touch with,
it was fun.
Let me know when your releases are coming up, and we'll definitely keep the audience posted on our Facebook
okay,
page.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, definitely.
All right.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Right. Well, have a great one, and we'll be in touch.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody, for listening in. This is a recorded interview, and it will turn into a podcast shortly right here. Be right here available at this link, and we download. They go to iTunes, and I think they get downloaded to our SoundCloud as well. So you can find us online at www.authorsontheair.com. And anywhere else in the social media universe that you can just Google us and find us. Have a great evening. Have a great weekend. And until next week, y'all have sweet dreams.